Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 31. And in my over 40 years of the ministry, I've never preached on this whole chapter before. I've never heard the whole chapter been preached on before. I'm sure it has. But God gave me some special thoughts about this chapter that will help us. Because my opinion, and it's a true opinion, I'm sure, that God has place the role of a mother, one of the highest offices in the land. What is more important than a baby that comes into this world being loved, nurtured, and taught? Don't expect the school to do it. Don't expect anyone else to do it. Mothers, it's your role. I realize this day and time, some of the fathers have to assume that role for various reasons. But nonetheless, we have here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. And I'd like to entitle this message this morning, An Eternal Influence on a Child by the Teaching of a Mother. What a child is taught at home has not only in their lifetime an eternal, whether or not they will be a child of God, whether or not they will respect other people, on and on and on. The chapter says it all. We won't read the entire 31 verses. We'll just read portion as we go through. But the Bible says in the very first verse, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Let's look at the setting. God has given us the precious word of God. It is inspired. It's inerrant, it's infallible. And he has placed this. Now, most of Proverbs was no doubt written by King Solomon, the last two chapters, 30 and 31. Now we're told that this king has written this chapter, and he has done it from memory of the things his mother taught him. We're going to look very carefully at the eternal influence of a mother's teaching. But let me give you some other scripture to tell us the importance of this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. All scripture is given, of course, for our learning. And God placed this. God somewhere placed a mother that sought her son who ended up becoming a king. What king? What nation? We do not know. Speculate all you want to. We do not know. God did not tell us who this king was, where he reigned, but we do know, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 through 16, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. She taught him that also, that everybody's not going to like you. And if you live for God, you'll suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who did you first learn it from? A mother, a grandmother, a father that tends the children. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So God has given you and I this portion of scripture, Proverbs chapter 31, for those very reasons. A mother. And the king now is writing in memory. We don't know how old the king was. We don't know if the mother is deceased. But one thing we know, that what she taught him went in his mind, and at some point in his life, the Holy Spirit asked him and told him to write this and pin it down for you and for me. So let's look at the text together. I want to look at six, if I have time, six basic things in this chapter. It's going to be a long chapter, I know, but we're going to move hurriedly through it. And the first thing I want to look at is the opportunities mothers have with their children. What a golden opportunity. From the time a child is born, And then she has received that little one in her bosom. From that point on, as long as she has that child, and even after the child leaves home, she can be an influence on that child that no one else in this world can be. So you and I this morning, many of us, our mothers have deceased, gone on to glory. But God has given us memories of things she taught us. And if you're a mother with a child, this is for you, because you need to learn and understand how important it is for you to be the mother. And children, it's for you also. You're not old enough to be married yet, but you have a mother, no doubt. And as this is being read, if you have a mother that is teaching you those things, be thankful. This message is for every one of us, for God put in his world. The word King Emuel means appointment with God. It means belonging to God. So she named her son Lemuel because she wanted to let him know that the meaning of his name was he belongs to God. What an important thing it is to teach your child. Hey, God gave you to me and your dad, but really we want to teach you that God gives life. You belong to God. You're special. You're not just somebody heathen somewhere. God gave you. He made you like you are. You belong to God. What a name. What a meaning of a name if she taught him that. But not only that, the Bible says the prophecy she taught them. The word prophecy in the Hebrew means a burden. It should be on every mother's heart. A burden of their soul is to rear that child. As long as God gives you that child, the burden of your heart is to teach him the things. And it's pretty well outlined here in this chapter of what that mother can do and what that father can do. So let's look at not only opportunities a mother have with her children, and nobody else has. Take that opportunity very seriously. Look at verse 2. Look at the oneness. The oneness with this child and the oneness that this child has with God. As that child is growing up, the mother is so close to it. It has already been in her womb and it's felt that closeness. And it knows that mother's love. It can sense it. It can feel it. Look at verse 2. What? What, my son? And what? The son of my womb? And what? The son of my vows. Not only are you a part of me, I bore you, I had you in my womb, I carried you, I seen your first smile, I saw your first laugh, I listened to your first tears, I caressed you. And while I was doing all that, I made a vow that I will rear you because your name means belonging to God. I'll teach you those virtues. Son, you're my son. Or daughter, you're my daughter. I'm going to teach you. I made a vow before God, and I'm making it to myself, and I'm making it to you, that you will remember. You will never forget what I'm going to teach you every day of your life. You wake up in the middle of the night crying somewhere in that crescent. I'm going to let my love shine through to you to let you know that you're something special. I've made a vow. Not only the oneness with the child and with God, but look at verse 3 through 5. Now, he is remembering the observation about her warning. Because if we love our children, and surely we do, we want them to observe some warnings that we give those children. Look carefully at verses 3 through 5. Some warning she gives this son. He won't forget it. He hasn't forgot it. He's pinning it down, what mama taught me. Look at verse 3 through 5. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. No doubt when that child was born, she did not know necessarily that he would be a king. I don't know if she did or not. But one thing she's teaching him, those strange women, those women that will deceive you and those women that will tear you down, don't give yourself to them. You belong to God. Give yourself to God. Yeah, God may give you a wife, but she's going to tell him what kind of wife, what kind of woman that he should be looking for. And there again, God sends to the man the wife. And all they have to be is close to him to receive and understand that. But look at verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Teach them early. That strong drink that God, so many times his word says, don't live that kind of life. It will ruin you. Not only will it ruin your health and the things in your body, but will ruin your mind. Don't give yourself to it. Because if you do, it will influence your thinking. It will influence your walk with God. It will influence and tear down your walk with other people, your reputation. Just don't do it. Stay away. I'm so thankful. Growing up, I had a mother and a father like that taught me. And it's not good enough just to tell them with words. Because while they're listening with their ears, they're observing with their eyes. And they know what you do, parents. And so our job is to rear them and train them and observe the warning of a mother and of a father that says, stay away from strong drink. Stay away from those women that will tear you down. And it's not for anyone to have this strong drink. But look, this warning continued in verse 5. Lest thou drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Not only will cause you to pervert your thinking, but you're going to be in charge of other people. You're going to be around other people that have special needs. And not only a mother teaches a son, a mother teaches a daughter, that you're going to be an influence one day on your children, and God may put you in the position so you could be in position for ruling or affecting a lot of people. We don't know the future. But observe the mother's warning as she tells her child, watch out for the wild women and watch out for the strong drink. Don't let anything affect your mind and the things that, remember, you belong to God. God has given you to me, and I'm giving you to God, and I'm telling God that I'm going to make my vow, I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to teach my child to live for you. We're talking about the eternal influence a mother has on her child. And not only opportunities that mothers have with children nobody else has, the oneness with the child and with God that no one else has. And now she has taught them, observe what I tell you and what God tells you. Look at verse 10 through 12. The obligation now is to yourself. God has given you, mothers, an obligation. It's for yourself. It's to God. And this obligation is to your children. And not only that child, but that child will no doubt rear up, and as time goes by, have children, have grandchildren, maybe be in the position to be a pastor, maybe be a teacher. But you see, the life you live can not only affect you, but hundreds and thousands of people in future generations. Why? Because the influence a mother has on her child is eternal. So notice carefully verses 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This is the words that the mother instilled in him from birth all the way as long as she had him. And now he's remembering, he's writing. And as he's writing, these words were not only for him representing his mother, because his mother now had been and lived up to the example that she wanted him to do as looking for a wife. So this scripture, the obligation is not only to him and to her that she's lived her life and she's under the obligation to live a life before him, but now that's a type of wife he's supposed to look for. It's obligation to yourself, son, that it's not only for yourself, but it's to God. There's a vow been made. I made it to God before you were ever born. That I live for him and I teach you that you belong to God. And I gave you the warnings. And I gave you all that God gave me. He didn't forget it. He pinned it down. And these instructions or these obligations now, he's looking for that kind of wife. And maybe he's found her. And these, not only, she has carried out that in her own life. Look very carefully now for a few minutes at these obligations as we reread. Who can find a virtuous woman? That word virtuous means one of abilities, not just necessarily righteousness, but the abilities, the confidentiality that she'll have with her child and with other people, but it also means the credentials she has. She's supposed to be a woman of character, a woman that when people will see her in the streets, they don't turn their head and say, oh, she says this, but she does that. No, this woman's got an obligation. He's looking for that kind of woman. And if he's looking, God will send that kind of woman in his life. And you may be a woman here. That's what God expects of you, for your husband and for the children that God's given us. Let's look very carefully at these obligations. They're found in verses 13 through 29. We won't have time to read them. It's kind of an overhaul of the operation of her home. It's the operation now. She's found a husband. God has put her with a husband. It may be the one that's the mother that's given him instruction, and it may be his wife. But it's for you, mothers. And this is the opportunities that you have. And this is the operation, your whole life in the home, wherever you are, whatever you do. This is the requirements. It's the credentials. It's the obligations that you have. We're going to read part of it in verses 13 through 29. And I thank the Lord, and as I go through this, memories are going to come back to me about my childhood. And as they do, I'll no doubt end up having to tell you some about them. But I remember that was instilled in me from my mother and my grandmothers, both of them. And then God sent me that kind of wife. And when Sandra and I got married, we had we lost her first child, girl or boy, we don't know. We'll find out when we get home to glory. If it matters, at least we'll have that child and be all grown up. But right now, God gave us Darren, firstborn. And I remember what we said to one another. When we got married, we expected God would give us children somewhere down the line. So we had this operation in mind. We said, you know, this is what God told us to do. She won't work outside the home because her job is going to be taking care of the children. We had a lot less because of it. Sometimes we struggled. Let me correct that. Almost all the time we struggled. But we made a decision, the most important thing. If God gives us a child, that we will rear it in our home. And the best way to do that be for mom to stay home. I'm not criticizing anybody else. That's just what God told us to do. And we did that. So you have to follow what God tells you to do. I'm not here to tell you what you ought to do. Remember, we got the Lord to tell us what to do. But she was there. They never came home from school. If they got sick at school, didn't have to call dad at work, and I might be somewhere else in some other city, but mom was always home. Sandra was always home. And it was so important because I remember my mother growing up on the farm. There was never a time but what she wasn't there for us. So let's read these verses, some of them in verses 13 through 29, and it's going to describe the operations that this woman has at home with her children. Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her cantle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the dishes. This mother has an operation at home. She's taking care of the needs of the family. The husband may be a traveler. In this case, her son was a king. And if the king had a wife, which he did, then he was doing the jobs that God had given him to do. So the wife is taking care of the needs. Look carefully at some of the needs she has. She left her verses 19. She left her hand to the spindle and her hands hold the dishes. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hand to the needy. I remember growing up that someone sick in the community, and we didn't have cell phones. It's hard for children to understand this. But as I was growing up, we didn't have a telephone. Nobody in the whole community had a telephone except one at the store. If you could get there, it's about 2.5 miles away. But when something happened in the neighborhood, someone would go to the church, was always unlocked, and they would start ringing the church bell. It might be 2 in the morning, but if you live within proximity of 5 miles, you could hear the dinging of the donging of the church bell. We lived, as a crow flies, about a mile and a quarter from the church, I believe. And we could always hear it, and it wasn't discussed. Mom and Dad would arise out of bed, and one of them would, usually Dad would walk to the church. Neither day, because somebody in the community has a need. We don't know what. Sometimes it was a death. Sometimes it was someone that had a sick. Whatever it was just taught us that that is important. This is the operation of a home. Because other people in the neighborhood around us were just like us. They had homes. They had children. They had aged parents living with them. And there was a lot of needs. And the operation of a home should be not just about, we've already talked about, responsibility of your children, but there's other people out there besides our children. There's other people's children. And it's very important. And the scripture just said, this wife, this woman, is one that's always not only looking for her needs, but she's looking to help other people in need. Let's look at this operation of the home also. In verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Well, I have to go back and relate to me. This was a king, remember? The king and his wife was no doubt a lot better off financially. They had the silks and the purples. Well, let me tell you how thankful I was. I love it when Mom made biscuits, and the more biscuits she made meant the more flour we bought. And the more flour we bought meant the more shirts I would have, because the flour came and material after the flour was, she made my shirts. And she was quite a seamstress. And I was so happy to get the go to church, and I remember my Mother's Day, that brand new shirt. And every couple of months, they were changing the designs of those flower shirts. I can picture you and tell you, one time I had a yellow shirt. I wish I still had that. Wouldn't fit, of course. But just the memories. How Mom never wasted anything. She was always taking care of that which she had to provide for my brother and myself and for my dad. Because that's the kind of mother she was. That was the operation, standard operation of our home, to help the other people and women and girls and boys. This is our job too. Remember, we're people. We got neighbors. We got people with needs. And God expects the operation of our home to not only take care of our children, financial needs, and every other needs we possibly can. Let's keep reading. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates while he sitteth around the elders of the land. Can you imagine why her husband is sitting with the elders at the gate? There's no gossip going on about his wife. There's only praise and glory about the kind of wife that God had given him. How often she had taken care of other people's needs and how well she managed what little or much God had provided for her. How important it is, her reputation. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Wouldn't have much income. So what we would do is we'd raise chickens, and we'd kill those chickens, of course, and dress them and use them. But then if we had extra chickens, we always needed something there at the store, coffee or sugar or things that we couldn't buy. And so we would go down the Steve Branch, about a mile down the Steve Branch, my mom and myself and my brother, and we would carry eggs. We carried them in pokes. Anybody know what a poke is? That's a paper bag. We call them pokes. And I noticed as a little boy, mom never let me carry the eggs. They weren't in these nice foam, styrofoam cartons today, so if you rattle them or shuck them, they'd break and then break another one. And I guess as a little boy, I always jump in branches and swing on grapevines. But I remember the day, I was probably about 12 years old, and Mama says, you can carry the eggs today. Trust that Mama had in me, because we'd get there with a dozen or two eggs, we could swap those for some things we couldn't afford. And sometimes we would carry chickens by their legs upside down, and we would sell chickens at the store. She also always churned and made butter. We still got those wooden butter things that make, I guess, why, half a pound? And she would carry the butter. I'm telling you that she used the resources God gave her. And so doing, she trained my brother and myself, not only by her mouth and her actions, but she took advantage of every opportunity she had to provide the reputation she had, the character she had, and the livelihood. This is all standard procedure for the operation of the home. Keep reading. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Don't you know that mom grew old, my brother and I got married and left home. But she took every opportunity to teach her grandchildren, mine and Sandra's two boys, and my one brother and his only son. She was still teaching and instructing every time we would go to see mom. Those memories are so cherishing. Those memories are so important. They're eternal. You just don't forget the kind of operation moms have at home. And mothers, your children won't forget either. And children, when you grow old and have children of your own, teach them, because they won't forget. It's eternal, the influence that a mother has on a child. Look at verse 26. She openeth her mouth and wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I do not remember, and I've got a pretty good memory, thank God. My mother and my father never, ever raised their voice to me. They instructed me, and they did instruct me. Sometimes it was with a hickory, but the voice remained calm. I was taught that, so I respected that. And all my life, I never one time ever raised my voice to my mother or my father. That was instilled in me. It was instilled in my mother by her mother. It's eternal, the influence. Therefore, I try to be like that with my two boys. The only time I ever remember raising my voice with Darren, two times. One time he was a little mischievous in the house of the Lord when he was about five, and I took him outside. I didn't raise my voice. I just said, we don't act like that way in the house of God. So he being 2.5 years older than Michael, I never had to do that to Michael because Michael just followed his influence in. But one other time I remember I came home and Sandra says, Darren, size me. And I took my hand and I just swatted him pretty hard. And as I swatted him, my watch fell off and went across the room. He still said, boy, I remember that. Just don't size your mama because the consequences aren't good. The operation of a home. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. There was never an idle moment around our house. Memories come back of how mother always took advantage. Blackberry season, we always went to the fields and not a gallon, but big buckets of blackberries. She always carried a hoe with her. And I remember on occasions as we were picking blackberries and you couldn't always see her, she'd say, hey, boy, stand right here. I smell a copperhead. God gave her the instinct when a copperhead gets mad, it produces an odor. I didn't sense it, but God gave that. That's the operation of a mother taking care of her boys. And so she'd take that hoe, and within 10 feet, she always, every time, found a copperhead and killed it. And you may be saying, kill the snake? Why wouldn't you let them live? They're not hurting anybody. Let me ask you a question. If a hornet were to start building a nest right over where the door went in to your household, and you had a child that if that hornet stung it would smother death and die, would you kill the hornets? Well, if copperhead, I had a friend at church that got copperhead bit and had a hard time with it. So don't even like to discuss the fact that a snake's out there and it has 20 or 30 little ones and they're a danger, see. A copperhead was a danger to her two boys, and they wasn't going to live and take a chance of biting their two boys, not with mama around. And I remember one time, if you go a mile and a half of our house from the main road, and then if you keep going on that old road, another mile or so, there was no farm back there. My great uncles used to live back there, and nobody lived there now, and we had permission to go pick wild strawberries, about the size of a small marble. Wow, on a sunny day, you talk about flavor, wild strawberries. And this particular time, we had two horses. Never did own saddles for them. So we'd ride bareback, my brother, mother and myself, because I'm younger, on one and my brother on the other. And we'd carry all the buckets we could carry. And one day back there, actually, we ate all we could eat. We picked those buckets full. And she said, there's still multiple strawberries in the field, but we're out of buckets, Mom. She had a hat, big old straw hat. So she picked that full, and she's carrying it gingerly, two hands. And as you go back to the house, there's a very steep hill, and she's behind me. And she has that hat, and the hill is so steep, she slides off the back of that horse and goes tumbling down the hill, holding on to that hat of strawberries. Operation of the house. Taking advantage of everything because the winter time's coming. And she's going to can the strawberries so we can have fresh food. I'm talking about a mother that has not only an influence on their children in word and deed, but the memories you have and the thankfulness you have in your heart. Got to hurry. Let's look lastly at the obtain a good report, verses 30 and 31. Now mom's dead, And we don't know if the king mother was there at this point or not. But look at the last two verses. Kind of a summation. Favor is deceitful. And beauty is vain. But the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. We're talking about obtaining a good report. She has the characteristics. And she has set the example. And it's eternal, the memories. Not only me, but other people have the mother. And the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. And several generations will still be talking about grandma or great-grandma's operation at the home. How she had that oneness with her child and with God, taking advantage of it. Opportunities she never shunned. Always teaching her children, observe God's warning about things that will hurt you. The obligation she had to God, to herself, and to her children. She has obtained a good report. Verse 30 and 31. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Just being what she ought to be. An instruction for mothers. We've all got mothers or had mothers. Thankfulness. Appreciation. An example is of what we ought to be. And God never has told us to do anything but what we can do. And God is so good and God is so loving to every one of us. Have an altar of invitation right now. Please come to the piano and play whatever God puts on your heart. Might be a time for a mother, everyone stand, to come and say, Lord, let me be like.